Hello, and welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. If you don't want a cookie cutter generic home, and instead you want a beautiful, meaningful home that's layered with personality, then you are going to be so inspired by the conversations we have on this show. We talk about why the environments we create matter and how to set up our rooms to evoke specific feelings and experiences that are right for you wherever you are in your life right now. I'm Zandra, your host and creator of the Slow Style Home Framework that teaches you how to make really thoughtful and informed decisions about your home rather than chasing current trends that may not last or staying stuck with rooms you hate, feeling overwhelmed with too many choices. Right now, when you join our monthly membership, the Slow Style Society, you'll get a personalized deep dive into your vision of what a dream home looks and feels like. And together, we'll come up with a plan on how to achieve that. If that sounds pretty awesome to you, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society for all of the details. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. Right now, let's just jump into today's episode. I am so delighted to have this woman back on the show. Her name is McQuillan Smith, otherwise known as The Nester, and she's back today to talk with us about her fourth book called House Rules. Now, you're going to hear about her longstanding pushback against the whole idea of decorating rules and why she decided that a book of decorating rules was actually needed. We cover everything. I'm talking a contrast, high and low, how to listen to what your house is trying to tell you. She and I both believe that anyone can create a beautiful home, and she offers insights on how to do it with her customary charm, humor, and humanity. Here's McQuillan. McQuillan Smith, so good to have you back on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we had such a great conversation the last time you were on here that I am really looking forward to this one. I want to just start with acknowledging this is your fourth book. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I have a lot of gray hairs from it, but I appreciate it.
I want to ask you, why this book now? Who's this for? Why did you want to write this particular book called House Rules?
It's a great question, especially for someone who doesn't like rules all that much.
Yeah, but I know.
After I wrote my third book, I met a girl and she said, "Hey, I have all of your books." She even brought one for me to sign. Aww. But she said, "I haven't done any rooms yet." Oh. She said, I just wasn't born with a decorating gene. Yeah. So I like to look at them, but you know, she kept talking and I heard nothing else.
Oh my, cause you were like, wait a minute. That's not the point of my books.
I was like, I have failed her. I have failed myself. What have I been doing with my life? This has all been a disaster. And it just like shocked me. Like I consider myself a teacher.
Yeah.
If I have not made it clear to people, first of all, there is no decorating gene, but yeah. Second of all, you can learn how, any of us can learn how to decorate. That's what those books were for. No one was born with a decorating gene. Now, some people earlier in life figured out that they wanted a beautiful home and they got really into it and they started paying attention to what they loved and what they didn't love and what worked and what didn't work. Those people we see as having the decorating gene, but they don't. They all have learned. We can all learn. And that's why I wrote House Rules. It is just like I before E, except after C, applies to whether you are writing a quick card to your sister, whether you're writing a Facebook post, whether you're writing a resume or a prayer. That rule applies. It is the same with decorating. There are universal decorating truths that apply, whether you have any style, whether whatever size home you have, whether your budget is huge or non-existent, there are truths that actually apply that work with any home. And I tried to think of what is like the quirkiest, weirdest, most unforgettable way that people can repeat in their head and not forget these rules. So when they're trying to decide between two vases, they can remember that the nester said the contrast is queen if you want to be seen. And since their vase is going to sit on a white dresser in front of a white wall, if they want to be able to see it, they should probably get something dark.
I underlined, as I do with all of your books. They are so heavily underlined and highlighted and all that kind of stuff. This one is very practical. And when you say do this, not that, you also say you are not a big believer in rules. I am not either. I think that you say something in there, break the rules because you mean to, not because you don't know what they are.
Right.
It's about intention.
Break the rules on purpose because we believe the room will look better, not because we don't know better.
Yeah.
And that really is the first rule. It's like, learn the rules, then break them beautifully with confidence.
Yes, absolutely. Give us an example from your own home where something from your life that was very personal to you, maybe it's a connection you have to a family member or something that happened to you or something. How did you use that, or how do you use that as the inspirational starting point for something? Because your home is so personalized to you, which I think is what we're all striving for.
I definitely feel like my home is really personalized to me and to my family. I do have a particular item.
Okay.
And it's kind of recent, probably in the past 5 years, just as our kids got older, we finally were like, let's do a trip out west. Let's go to Yosemite. And then a few years later, we went to Yellowstone. And as we were out there, you know, we camped a few nights. So we would maybe pick up a little pine cone, or our boys went fishing. And I remember one of the boys, the fishing guide, handed him, he picked up something from the river and said, this is like petrified wood or something, you know, like some random piece of wood.
Right.
And I don't know why, but me and my boys, they're all like high school and college age, we really got into it. And we all collected different things. And when we got home, we just kind of all laid them out on the table, like, oh, here's our treasure. And we ended up just setting them on a little tray we had. And we all loved it. And so I found a purposeful, like beautiful, someone had made me a concrete, it looks like they made a mold out of a big leaf. So it's like a little tray and it's a leaf. And we have put all our gems, all of our doodads and things that we found on vacations, and we just added to it. So we've got like sparkly rocks and random sticks and a tooth from a buffalo.
Oh,
and now whenever my boys go somewhere, it is so sweet. They bring their mother back. Mm. Like one of my boys went overseas, and I don't even know if you're allowed to bring a feather from another country, but he did.
I won't tell if you won't tell.
One feather. I mean, it was like better than a diamond. Like,
yes.
It's like our thing is that we'll pick up little, now don't pick up things from national parks. You're not allowed, but like,
right.
You know,
it is better than a diamond, especially when your kids get older and they start going away. When they actively are connecting back to home like that, oh, that is amazing. Because my kids are that age too. That is amazing and beautiful and personal, and no one else is going to have that kind of thing in their home, or at least the exact same one. So that's exactly what I mean when I try to talk to people about a signature style. What is in clear home, family, collecting things, displaying them, doing something together, collaborating, all of those are your values that you're telling me about on this one tray. Let's talk about evoking certain feelings or certain experiences in different rooms. You're very good at this. When you're trying to connect those dots, okay, I want to feel XYZ in this room. This is the experience I want to have. What do you go to? What design elements do you look toward to help you evoke those feelings, if that makes sense?
You ask the best questions. This is the heart of like really what we're all trying to do. And we don't even know how to say it.
Yeah.
I think I rely on opposites. Let me tell you what I mean.
Okay.
Okay. So we moved into this house a year and a half ago. It is 100-year-old Queen Anne Victorian. Oh. All of my life, I've been like, they're cool. They're kind of creepy. And I never want to live in a Victorian house. This house is formal. And we are the most casual. I'm barefoot. Yes. I wear jeans. Like, we are the most casual. We have two cats and the dogs. We had chickens. We had ducks, roosters. Like, we are casual folk. We're in the South. Like, we don't have a formal bone. And so moving to this house from like a rustic farmhouse on 12 acres, I'm like, what do I?
Right.
How do I?
Right.
Where do I?
When is the queen coming?
Like, I don't know how to be casual in a formal home. And
yeah.
so one of the house rules is respect your boss. And this Queen Anne and her style is a boss.
Yeah.
You can work with your boss or you can change your boss, but you don't get to ignore your boss. Mm. I don't get to ignore the fact that I have millwork and,
right.
you know, 12-foot ceilings and pocket doors and details. I can change it. I'm not going to. My mm-hmm. goodness, I would never do that. So that means I have to work with it. So I've got this house that's real formal and kind of fancy, and we're really casual. So that means if I want my house to feel less formal, then I need to add more of the opposite. So I need to add more casual things. So here's my dining room. And I bought the table from the people that used to live here because I didn't have a big dining room table.
Okay.
It's a dark wood, you know, those shiny,
yes.
beautiful Drexel piece. We're 5 minutes down the road from Drexel.
Oh.
Like, it was amazing.
Cool.
And then she had these beautiful custom drapes made. They're gorgeous, like muddy color, but they're kind of shiny.
They're silk, right?
I think so. Or taffeta, like slightly intimidating. It's like the nicest thing I've ever owned next to my car. I have no clothes this nice. They weigh like, I couldn't even lift it. They're like lined and felted and weighted and whoa.
And the wall and the ceilings are tall. So I imagine they're huge.
They're unbelievable. I mean, I'm like, I'm buying the house just for these 20-year-old drapes. But then I got here and I'm like, these drapes are, they make it feel like I'm going to host Jesus. Like,
yes,
I don't
yes.
know what to do. So I had to find a way to like bring it down. So I'm like, okay, what's the opposite of the drapes? They're shiny. They're formal. They're fancy. So I had some chunky, rustic cotton garland. I had bought it from Amazon for my Christmas tree. And I just kind of put it on the side of the drape to see like, what if I made like a fringe out of it?
Yeah.
And it kind of did the trick. So I hung it up there and looked at it a few days, liked it enough to order three more because it took that many
yep.
to go down. And suddenly it kind of brought those formal drapes down to our level. Like
yeah.
it just balanced them out a little bit. Like they're almost, the fringe is so big, it's ridiculous. Like every tassel is 7 inches. So it's like, are you kidding me? And so I decided to add more things like that to the house. Like I got some modern pieces that had some zigzags, like
yeah.
playful. Let me add some circles. Let me add some angles just
yeah.
so it would not take itself so seriously. But still, I want to respect the fact that this is like a grand, beautifully made, really balanced old house. So I'm working with her.
Mm.
I bring my unique style, but still honoring the fact of what she is, because this is the house we chose to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not done. I had to take pictures of it working, you know, I'm still changing it up, but it really is. I believe our unique style is found in the combinations. And so pairing what I like with this Queen Anne style and us figuring out together has been really, really fun.
Yeah.
A really good experiment in, you know, is it so feminine? Let me add some masculine. Is it really dark in here? We have one room with dark wood built in. So let me add a pair of really light colored modern swivel chairs in front
yes.
of it. So all this like yin and yang, it's
yeah.
it's working.
It is working so beautifully. I'm so glad you brought up the drape story because I was going to ask you about it anyway. One of my favorite chapters in the book.
Oh.
It so perfectly describes what you're talking about. You often do see fringe on very fancy drapes, but what McQuillan has done is she's gone sort of this kind of comical route where they're enlarged. They're so huge, but they're also made of something that's not shiny. So the material of the tassel feels much more pedestrian.
Yeah.
And I think that contrast is exactly what evokes the feeling that you're talking about. You're saying, this is how Queen Anne would have done it back in her day, and this is how I'm doing it. So you're not erasing the history. You're adding to it or you're changing a little bit. I can't help but notice that you've got an Angela Krzyzewski Blem art piece behind you.
I do.
One of my favorite artists, and she's also been on the podcast.
Oh,
yes, she does it too. So that shape, it's a ribbon. It's a ribbon, but she's done it in a way that you've never seen a ribbon before, right? Because it's huge and
yeah.
it's striped and it's a sculpture. It's not made of fabric. So I just think playing around with texture, form, pattern, that kind of thing, taking the old and playing around with it is where you find your style. And you, you're like the queen of that. So I just appreciate that. And that's one of your great rules is the contrast. I would like to hear about one sort of big picture mindset kind of rule that you live by. And then one that's very practical and hands-on, do this, not that kind of rule, your favorite one of those.
Well, let me start with the rule that for so long I didn't know and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with my house.
Yes.
And that was nail that scale. We already talked about this a little bit. Like I would go and find these tiny little things and then put them on my coffee table and think I have done it. There it is. And then you can't even see it. Like I was choosing things without impact.
Mm.
That, I mean, I just think that's like America's biggest decorating mistake is that we're afraid to buy a little bit larger item. We're afraid of the investment and then we end up buying tiny, tiny items. So that's one. Okay. Let me find another one. I think one is just, does your room look good naked?
Oh, tell us about that.
Now, if you're renting, I don't believe this one quite applies to you as much because we don't have control over our naked rooms when we are renting.
Right.
But there are still things that you can do. But I think even that informs like maybe what you need to wait on. I've learned if I hate a room when it's naked, if I hate a room before I move in, if I hate a room before I've doodad and put all my accessories out, that is bad news because there is no amount of cute pillows and tchotchkes that will change the soul of a room that I hate. Mm-hmm. I really need to back up and say, what can I do to help me love this room in its most pure state? Mm-hmm. You know, whether I'm quieting or hushing the house, taking some rugs out, taking some pieces out as much as I can so I can remind myself what this room looks like in its natural state. Sometimes it's as simple as realizing, oh, I'm covering up the windows, you know, or maybe I should paint the trim and do a reverse trim so that really shows off. Or maybe I need to pull the carpet up. Like, you know, I remember one time we had been living in our fixer-upper for a few years and, you know, you decorate and sometimes you're trying to accentuate the positive so that you don't notice. You're trying to hide from yourself and others.
Of course.
About every year, I'll quiet or hush the house and I'll just take some things out of the room. And we live like that with the family. And without fail, the whole family always notices the same thing. Oh, you really should fix that hole in the wall. Well, one year I quieted the living room and we all kind of looked up and we're like, it's time. We need to address the popcorn ceilings. And without doing that, I never would have like seen it with fresh eyes because you go house blind to it.
You totally do.
Not only was I on board, the kids were on board, the husband was on, the dog was on board. Like we all knew it is time because I wasn't hiding it from us anymore. We did not like that room naked and it was time to do something about it.
Oh my gosh. That's such a great example. And I think that's so true about being house blind. You really do stop noticing. I'm going to throw my mom under the bus for a second here. So she has this huge fireplace in one of her rooms that goes from one wall to another and up to the ceiling. Okay. And then the firebox itself is not very big. So she's got this nice expanse of exposed brick. There's a ledge up there for family photos and that kind of thing. For 15 years, the entire little step up was piled with recyclables, things that were meant to go out to the recycling bin. And bags meant to hold the recyclables and mail that you either hadn't gotten to yet, or you need to return something or it's waiting to be recycled. Mm-hmm. She didn't see it.
Yeah.
She would redo the whole living room, new deck, new pillows, new candelabras, new da 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 da. And all I could ever see was the clutter on the hearth.
Yeah.
And she just got rid of it because it doesn't matter. But I do think we go house blind to things. And I don't even think we realize sometimes they're really weighing us down, that stuff, right?
You know, it sounds crazy to us that she kept it there for so long, but I think we all have something in our house.
Yeah.
That we've been doing that. And I say everything that sits out is a decoration. You know what I'm decorating with right now? Stuff I need to take to the Goodwill. furniture I need to take out to the garage, but it's so cold and the cars are in the way and like just it's in our way. Recycling is sitting by my back door.
Yes.
I decorate with that a lot. And I think my life, like 60% of my life was stuff by my back door that needs to go out. But I've kind of been doing that.
Well, and I think that's such a great point is that real life also happens and you can't just pretend like you live with everything picked up perfectly for a magazine shoot every day. We have stuff that we have to deal with. And the more you can think about how to deal with it in a systematic way that is the least pain in the neck to you,
yes,
the better.
We'll be back after a quick break.
I assume you're here because you want a one-of-a-kind, personality-filled home, right? Well, in order to have that, you need to define and develop your signature style. When you do that, you're going to understand how to mix what you already have with new things you find, focusing on who you are and what you love, putting it all together in a cohesive way. So what's stopping you? Well, let me know if this sounds about right. Not enough time, not enough money, and a lack of creativity or design knowledge, which makes you feel overwhelmed and insecure about pulling the trigger and changing things up. This is why I created the Slow Style Society, to help you take action on making your dream home a reality. It's part social club for people who like to just geek out on design and part hands-on learning experience where you get better and better at making decor decisions for each room in your home. And for the next few weeks, I'm offering all new members an additional one-on-one style session with yours truly. So I'll take you through the lessons so you know exactly what to focus on inside the Slow Style framework, in what order, and you'll have a personalized support system from me to get you there. Go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society so we can get started right away. Let's not wait for that imaginary perfect time to create your beautiful, meaningful home. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society. Okay, back to the episode.
Absolutely. And I think it's that stuff. I mean, our house is talking to us. And right now I feel like my house is saying, hey girl, you're not good at walking the recycling 30 feet out there. You need to come up with a solution so that your recycling is not sitting on the kitchen floor every single day.
Right.
So your house will talk to you if you are willing to listen.
Let's talk about antiques. What do antiques do for a signature style?
I love the way that you think of that. I mean, to me, antiques add a layer of history. And I don't believe that for an antique or for a piece that you've, I don't know how you generalize it, but like to me, it's just anything that had a previous life.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be 100 years old. It doesn't have to be vintage. It doesn't have to be high end or an heirloom handed down. It has to be something that lived with someone else for a while. And to me, they add such value. If I were the richest woman on earth, I would still shop at Facebook Marketplace and the antique mall and secondhand stores because nothing that you can get new replaces that soul, that something that lived with another family that has seen them through, that is still there to live and tell about it. Nothing is that quality anymore. Nothing can bring that presence into your home. And it would be so sad to me that if you walked into my 120-year-old house or my brand new house and everything in the room I bought on one day together. When you do that in about 5 years, you get sick of everything in your room on the exact same day. You want to add these layers. Like I want to add this thing that, you know, is 30 years old and 50 years old and 100 years old. We bought lots of furniture from the previous owner. So I think the antiques, the items that have had a previous life are just one part of the layered story that every home needs.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about art next. What does art do for a signature style? And I want to just draw your attention to the fact that you've got this piece behind you of Angela's. It's like a real live art piece that a real live artist actually made. But then you also have this canvas. You tell this story in the book about a canvas that you painted over. So
yeah,
I'd love to hear that story and then tell us kind of why does art matter? What does art do for a home?
I am so picky about art. I would rather have all blank walls than something on my walls that I don't love. I am patient, as I know that you are. I would love to have a Josh Young piece one day, an original. Like I aspire to that. I have artists that I aspire to own a piece of their work one day, and I hope to. But until then, I'm not going to just go to Kirkland's and buy a piece of art. There are easier ways to get things that I like how they look. And one way I've done that was, you know, I had a piece of big box art for my son's room ages ago. He picked it out. It was like, we've all seen it. The big globe, you know, on a black, it's a white globe on a black canvas.
Yeah, yeah.
So a few years ago, I was taken to the Goodwill, and as I was loading it into the car, I was like, this is a big canvas. And if I were buying this from Hobby Lobby, it'd be $35. I just ended up pouring just different wall paint, whatever random paint, doesn't matter, oil-based, whatever. Just let it dry. Don't let the cat get on it. Lay it down on a sheet and pour stuff. And it did. When we moved into this house, I used a lot of the same colors. You know, when you just use leftover wall paint, it goes with every room in your house. It ended up on the cover of the book. It's just random.
Yeah.
I'm not an artist. It's not a painting of a tree. It's just, you know, splotches and such. But it was a fun way to get to play around and to see what I can do. I like to say, well, it's a house rule. You can't ruin something you already hate.
That's a favorite rule. Yes.
There was nothing to lose. I had no skin in the game. If I hated it, I can still take it to the Goodwill or I can throw it in the trash. You know, we had a bonfire. It was made of wood. I could burn it, whatever. I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And then of course it ended up on the cover, which I love.
Yeah. Well, it's just such a great lesson in using what you already have, being fearless, even easier, like you said, when you've got nothing to lose, to be fearless. The fact that you used the wall colors that you already had meant that you already knew you loved the colors. So you're already 50% there into liking this. You didn't spend any money. I mean, it's such a great story. And I love that you have that balanced with some quote unquote real art. It's about the patience to wait until you can afford what you really want and not putting a placeholder there that is meaningless to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then because that, I think, detracts from that signature style that you are very good at conveying.
So right. Yeah, it does. You think about when you're in a museum, there is art and there is purposeful margin. And I think we forget that we can do that in our own home. Like we're allowed to have nothing on a wall.
I love that.
On purpose.
Purposeful margin, which you also did in your bedroom.
Yes.
Talk about that. That was one of your rules about luxury.
You know, when you're younger, you think I must have a solution to all the things. It's just like getting the right stuff. And we moved to this house. I didn't have anything for the walls up in our bedroom. It's the biggest bedroom we've ever had. Put our bed in. I did get some nightstands, got a pair of lamps. I had purchased an old sofa from the lady that lived here, a beautiful camelback. All of a sudden, I was like, wow, this room, it looks like a luxury hotel room where they don't
have the penthouse suite.
Junk everywhere. This is life. Like this is living. And I ended up even taking more art down. Sometimes luxury isn't about having more, but choosing less. And that room, especially because it's a bedroom, it's like quiet and serene. And I have beautiful drapes and I have a rug, nice carpet. And I have, you know, all the layers and cozy, especially it's winter right now. We're talking, I've got my linen duvet, but I have nothing else. I don't have tchotchkes. I have one decorative pillow on the bed. It's like just enough. And it feels so spacious and peaceful and like makes me feel like a princess.
Yeah.
To have anything extra in that room.
Oh my God. And that's such an interesting way to think about luxury. The luxury is about being able to have nothing. And to have that, you've got this gorgeous wall color on there. And it's the bedroom, like you said, who doesn't want to just stare at a blank wall when you wake up and just let the thoughts come and the dreams empty out? And what a beautiful way to think about luxury. It luxury is often time. And as you're saying, it's also space. So don't feel the need to put something somewhere just because it's empty or it feels like a blank wall to you or whatever. Go ahead, live with it for a little while. you might start to love it. Great story. And you're a great storyteller, which is, again, why I love this book and I love all your books. And I could talk to you forever, but I am going to wrap up. And I want to ask you, what's exciting you right now about what's going on in the world as it relates to design, if anything?
Oh, well, I mean, I do love the whole English cottage vibe that's happening. That's really fun. I am a cozy minimalist, but I also love maximalism. I just feel like now, just every year, all the trends, all the things are going faster and faster and faster. And so no one's able to keep up. So yes. It almost looks like everything's allowed.
Oh, nice. It's a good way to look at it. And so, because I get depressed about how fast everything's moving and how the trends move so fast. But you're right. Everything's allowed.
No expectations anymore because it's by the time it's here, it's gone. It doesn't even matter. You can't even keep up.
I love it. What a great, this is your the mindset. You have such a great mindset. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show again. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
We could talk all day. I feel like
we could.
It's so fun.
Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.